Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus does not mix words here in the gospel according to St. John. You heard that he says that the one who is not in him cannot do anything. He doesn't say just the one who is not in me is able to still do even a little. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And in fact, as he has unraveled this story of the human life, he says, apart from the vine, you wither and you die. You are like a branch that will be swept up and burned in the fire. Apart from Christ, there is no life. Apart from Christ, there is no good work that can ever be done by man. Apart from Christ, we are nothing. But all the more reason for us to abide in Christ, and for Christ to abide in us. Because he says that we who abide in him and he in us will bear much fruit. You see, just as apart from Christ we can do nothing, with Christ all things are possible. With Christ we can have the strength and the courage in order to get through those difficult times in life. We can, in Christ, find most charitable reasons to love those who will not even love us back. With Christ we have all things, and therefore are able to give all things. But there are some who do not wish to live in Christ. In fact, the world around us, our own culture, has shown just how willing they are to depart from the Lord, to depart from his word. They do not want the word of God, which he speaks, that cleanses the heart. They do not want the word of God to dwell in them richly, that they might also richly produce good fruit. Their life, they live in a delusion. The life of many in our culture today is one which desires pleasure, which desires to be rid of pain and of suffering. One which desires to do what they feel is the very best for themselves. Pleasure has become what one might argue is a primary goal in life, to do those things which make us feel good, regardless of the moral imperatives that have been handed down to us from our families, from our parents, from the scriptures. No, instead we have been put into a culture that perverts morals. That is, they pervert the Ten Commandments, and they argue that there is no abiding truth, no standard by which all things ought to be measured against. And when they have done away with such truth, they go about doing that which makes them feel complete, that which indulges their lusts and their passions, their desires. And they are led far, far away from the vine, far, far away from anything that would ever produce life within them and give life through their works and their preaching or teaching or their care for one another in the gospel. I want to read to you a little bit from our Lutheran confessions. In the Holy Scriptures themselves, the words, necessity, needful, necessary, these things, as well as ought and must, are used to describe what we are bound to do because of God's ordinance, command, and will. These sayings should rightly be employed and used to reject the secure Epicurean delusion. For many create for themselves a dead faith or delusion that lacks repentance and good works. They act as though there could be true faith in a heart at the same time as the wicked intention to persevere and continue in sin. According to Romans 6, verses 1 to 2, this is impossible. Or they act as though a person could have and keep true faith, righteousness, and salvation, even though he is and remains a corrupt and unfruitful tree, from which no good fruit comes at all. In fact, they say this even though a person persists in sins against conscience or purposely engages again in these sins. All of this is incorrect and false. Above all, this false Epicurean delusion is to be seriously rebuked and rejected. Some imagine that faith and the righteousness and salvation that they have received cannot be lost through sins or wicked deeds, not even through willful and intentional ones. They imagine that a Christian retains faith, God's grace, righteousness, and salvation, even though he indulges his wicked lusts without fear and shame, resists the Holy Spirit, and purposely engages in sins against the conscience. What is this Epicurean delusion, you may say? Well, if you are not familiar with Epicurus, he existed before Christ. He was just a few hundred years before Jesus came. He was a Greek philosopher who taught this, that the actions of gods should be rejected in the favor of materialistic things. He wanted the individual to lead a life that he considered to be self-sufficient, that pursued pleasure, peace, freedom from all fears, and the absence of pain and suffering. And this pursuit of pleasure led men following this Epicurean delusion to indulge in all sorts of fine things in life. Foods, drinks, lusts, passions, whatever you want to call them. In that teaching, pleasure became the primary goal of life. But it cannot be so for the Christian. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We even confess in the third article of the Creed that I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts. We believe that we cannot do even the very simplest of things apart from Christ. We cannot even believe in Christ apart from God's word coming to us through the Holy Spirit. How seriously we ought to take the culture in which we live and its perversions and the temptation for ourselves to be led astray into a life that is seeking the fine things, the pleasures, the lust, the overindulgence of all of these things, the perversion of morals to escape pain or suffering or to give justification for why they do such sinful and terrible acts. We Christians ought to take this serious. For we ourselves must confess that we cannot even hold on to the faith. It is not within our strength to do so. It is the power of the Holy Spirit who keeps us in the one true faith, who daily and richly forgives the sins, my sins, and the sins of all believers. But we cannot consider that if we persist in these things which lead us away from the faith, which turn us from the tree that has received life, the vine that has been attached to us, for we are the branches, the vine who is Christ our Lord, who gives us all nourishment and salvation, forgiveness, and life itself. We cannot consider that if we are no longer attached to Him, His Word no longer abiding in us, that we are really at all still alive. For the wrath of God is over those who are not in Christ. It is a serious thing. The Christian faith is serious. It's not just a head knowledge and a knowing that Jesus lived and died. It's not just a knowledge that there is a God. This is what it means, that Jesus Christ abides in you and His Word abides in you. And that you go forth and you do produce those good fruits which He brings about. That is, Jesus brings about in you. For you, connected to Him, walk and follow in His steps, sharing all things with all people, just as He has shared His good gifts with you. The one who thinks that he can bear fruit of himself is not in the vine. The one who thinks he can bear fruits himself is not in the vine. He is not in Christ. For we Christians confess that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But with Christ, we can do all things. God works it within us. He is the one who roots us firmly in the one true faith. He is the one who keeps us in this faith. He is the one that produces in us the right worship of His holy name. He is the one who has prepared all good works that we should walk in them. And in the end, when all the works which you have done in this life have followed you, all good works follow us. Even though they have not been done perfectly, it is Christ Jesus who in the end purifies all our poor intentions, all our sins which have accompanied such works. It is Jesus who purifies them so that all that remains is the goodness of what was done. So in the end, dear Christians, what can we even say is our own? Nothing. But all things that were produced in us, even through the times of tribulation and turmoil in our life when God pruned us back, it was in order that we might produce more, not less. That we might follow in His footsteps all the more closely, cling to Him who is the vine, who brings to us all comfort and assurance of our hope and salvation. All these things that we have incurred in life to us, all misfortunes which we have suffered, all times of poverty or prosperity, whenever we have felt ourselves in need, God there works through His Word to bring us back to the source of our life. And when we feel as though we have been clipped and pruned, we needn't worry as if God is trying to remove us from His vine, who is Christ. It's quite the opposite. Because God so richly loves you, if He prunes you back, it is so that you may blossom all the more and bear even more good fruit. That through your witness of the faith, your constant devotion to the Word of God, that others may see the light of Christ in you and say, what is the reason for this hope that you have? And you won't look at them and say, oh, it's because of what I do or what I have done, but you will turn them back to the vine and say, apart from Christ, I've done nothing. But in Christ, He has prepared for me all these things for me to do and to walk in, that I might give glory to His holy name and share with you the true works of our salvation, which were accomplished for us long ago by the one who took upon Himself our flesh, was made like one of us, and who died and suffered and rose again, that we might have life in him. God has brought you and attached you to the vine, who is Christ Jesus our Lord. Trust in him. Believe in him. And cling to him for all ages. Let the word of God dwell in your hearts richly, that you might accomplish all those things which he has set before you to do, and that in him, as he has said, you shall bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.